Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Well, as you know, we are in a 7-week series through the book of James, and we're calling this series of sermons Grit and Grace. Grit and Grace, and we're talking about the tension that exists between belief and behavior. And as we've made our way through this series, we've talked about how most people are a little more comfortable with one or the other. We're a little more comfortable with grit, the behavior, the doer side of life, or maybe we tend to lean a little bit more to the grace side of life, of just belief and just trusting in God. And it's okay to lean one way, but it is not okay to ignore the other. It's okay if we have a natural tendency, but it is detrimental to our lives and to our future when we begin to ignore the other. And so we've been looking at a verse. It's kind of the theme verse for this series, and it's actually found in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 3, and it says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Trust in the Lord, and everybody say, and. Trust in the Lord and do good. And so it's kind of given us a little mathematical equation for this series, and it is simply this: trust plus do equals prosper, okay? It is not trust equals prosper. It is not do equals prosper. It is trust plus do equals prosper. It's when we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and we do the good that we know to do. That's when we will prosper in our soul. We will prosper in our marriage. We will prosper in our relationships when we trust and do. And we have this little graphic that we used a couple weeks ago, and I think it just gives us a great mental picture as to what we are talking about. And it's of a high wire walker there, like a tightrope walker. And if you see, he's walking there, balancing there between grit and grace. How do you understand? If you're going to walk across a high rope or a tightrope, you got to make sure that both of those poles are sturdy in the ground. You never want to get up on a high wire tightrope and walk across and one of those things to be faulty. And if we're going to walk the walk that God has called us to walk, if we're going to walk the pathway that God has called us to walk, we got to make sure that there is tension between our grit and our grace, our belief and our behavior. We can't just lean one way and ignore the other, because if this guy was up here and he was a person of grit, but he had no grace and no real faith and belief, let me tell you, he would be falling right down. Same way would be true. If he was just all grace and it was sturdy, but he didn't do the good that he knows to do and it wasn't strong in the ground, he's falling all the way down. So we see that the tension here between grit and grace, belief and behavior, is what allows us to walk the path that God has called us to walk. The tension is not a bad thing. The tension is actually a great thing. And so it takes us to today's message. And today I want to share on this topic: faith that follows through. Faith that follows through. Let's pray. Father, I ask in the next few minutes that you would do what only you can do. Touch our hearts, change our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in the room said, amen. Well, hey, this past week, I was on vacation with Destiny's family, the entire Duron family. And if you follow us on social media, you would have seen plenty of clips. But when I say the entire family, I mean the entire family. There was grandma, there was mom and dad, there are 7 siblings in the family, 5 of which have spouses, and there are 7 grandkids, and so that comes to and 2 babysitters. So there were 24 people under one roof. Now, your pastor likes his space. It could be challenging, but there were some people I had praying for me, so I made it through, and I'm here on Sunday. But anytime you get the Durham family together, hey, there is always going to be great competition. Always. That competition is going to break out, whether we're talking about card games, whether we're talking about little fun games that you play out in the backyard. And so sure enough, there is a competition that's going to break out. It's a game that we have never played before. It involves like you and a partner, and there's like two little trash can looking things, and they're like 50 feet apart, and a frisbee, and you got to hit the can or knock the, your partner can knock the frisbee into the can. And I'm not going to go into all the details of that, but I do need to let you know that me and David D., it's Destiny's second youngest brother. I guess he would be 26 years old now. We have been dominating the Duron family games for years. I mean, it's like a decade of absolute dominance. And we are so shocked and surprised that they still let us play together. I mean, it's amazing. And so when they start explaining the rules of the game, and we always do it like so nonchalant, you know, we don't want to, you know, kind of under the radar. And so they're breaking up into teams. I'm like, okay, hey, D, me and you maybe? You think you want to play? Yeah, sure. And so we're like walking around, and we're both walking back to our position and thinking, nobody's going to call us on this right now. Like, nobody's going to say, no, y'all can't play together. And so nobody's protesting. And so we walk to our spaces, and it's the same thing. Like, history repeats itself, right? And we are just dominating the entire family. I mean, we just keep winning game after game, game after game. Now, the Duron family is the nicest family in the world. They cheer for people they don't know, much less cheering for people that are in their family. I mean, they never say anything bad about anybody. They cheer for everyone. But can I tell you, when you start beating them like three games and four games and five games, and I'm not making this up, okay, six games, and you're still beating them, let me tell you, they start rooting against you. They start wanting you to fail. And so finally, you know, and one of the things that makes this work is like when you don't boast and brag. You know, me and D, we have this thing, we're not out there like to talk a lot, so we just win, because winning speaks for itself, right? And you may be thinking right now, wow, was it like Pastor Philip go out and like play the frisbee? No, I probably haven't thrown the frisbee in 10 years, but let me just say, winners win, okay? And so we're just playing this frisbee game, and we just keep winning, and it makes it so bad, because I mean, we're winning, and after every game we're not like, yeah, hey, another victory. I mean, we just walk across, we just shake one another's hand. Good job, D. Good job. Okay, man. Great job. And we just walk back, and we just keep killing them. Okay, I mean, the games aren't close. I'm not talking we're winning like 21-19. I'm talking we're winning like 21-4 and 21-6. Okay, I mean, it's absolute, absolute, absolute domination. And I didn't have to tell you that story. I just wanted you to know that your pastor's 40, but he still got it. Okay, I mean, he can still play. I'm still teaching the younger brothers how to do some things. Hey, but here's what I want to tell you. I want to say, I just told that story just to get to this point. How many of you have ever been around somebody that talks a lot, but their game doesn't match up their talk? Come on. I mean, in athletics, this is like a common occurrence. It's the person that shows up talking about their jump shot that can't shoot. It's the person that talks about how great a pitcher they are and they can't throw a strike. It's not the people that talk a lot that you really have to be concerned about. It's the people that don't say a thing that you need to really, like me and D. Okay, we don't talk. It's those people that you really need to be watching, because those people are always the best. Why? Because here's the thing. If I'm telling you how good I am, then I'm probably not very good, or you would just see it for yourself. Athletics is more than talk. Life is more than just what you say. It's not how good you can talk the game in life. It's about how good you actually live out your life. It's not what you tell yourself or even what you tell others. It's actually how we perform on a daily basis. And here's what I want to say is that this morning, the scriptures that we're going to look at, this is the very core, the very center of this entire series of grit and grace, and it's found in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. It says this, James writes, and he says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing? What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say How can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Now, there's something that we have learned through this journey of the book of James, and that is that James's words are not always sweet to the ear, but they will produce strength for your soul. As he begins to write, it might be tough to swallow sometimes, but if you can swallow it, it will create some toughness on the inside of you. And here James closes out this portion of scripture that we just read, and he said, can't you see it? Isn't it obvious to you? Doesn't this make sense that faith without good deeds is completely useless? He's like, what is the point? What is the point of saying you have faith if that faith is not changing you? Why would you say and declare that you are a person of faith when you don't have the behaviors that back up that belief? And a few weeks ago, we made this statement and we said, our belief changes our destination eternally, but our belief should also change our direction currently. That it's not just, I don't just believe that my destination is going to be changed eternally, that I'm going to go to heaven. No, God wants to change my direction currently, my direction today. That's why Jesus doesn't just save you. Jesus saves you, and then he begins to steer you. He wants to take control of your life, not just saving you from hell and placing you in eternity in heaven. No, he wants to take control of your life today, and he wants to begin to guide you through your every single day life. And so there comes this disconnect many times, though, in our lives. There's this disconnect between faith and follow through, between faith and follow through. And I believe it could be because we have a bad definition of the word faith. And even James alludes to it right here in what he writes. And he says, hey, you thought that faith was believing in God. He's saying that's not faith at all. That is not faith. Faith is not just believing that there's even a God. He said even the demons do that. What is James saying? He's saying there is so much more to faith than just saying you believe in God. And I've had this definition of faith that I've used in my life personally, and I've taught on for probably 15 years now at least. And I want to share this definition of faith with you. And this definition of faith, if you do have your Grit and Grace devotional, as I'm sure you all have, and you're all reading it every day like good Christians. If you don't have that devotional, you can actually pick one up as you leave today. We have a devotional that through all 7 weeks of the summer, and it will minister to you. And I put this definition in there, so if it looks familiar, it was in the devotional, but I want to share it with you today. And it says this: faith is a deep belief that leads to an action, results in obedience, and must be constantly cultivated in our lives. Faith is a deep belief that leads us to an action. It results in obedience, and it must be constantly cultivated in our lives. Now, we all understand that our journey with Jesus must start with belief. You have to believe the story. You have to believe the gospel message. You have to believe that God sent his one and only Son to earth, that he lived on this earth without sin, that he went to the cross to shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, that 3 days after they put him into the grave, he came up victorious, and that today he is sitting on the throne next to the Father in heaven, that he is a reigning Savior. He is a victorious Lord. You see, you have to believe the story. You have to believe that he loves you exactly where you are. You have to believe that his grace is sufficient for you, that his grace is enough for your life. It starts with belief. But and sometimes what we try to do is we try to skip this deep belief and we just try to go straight into Christian behavior. But if you skip this deep belief in the story and this deep belief in his love and this deep belief in his mercy and grace and this deep belief in who he says he is, if you skip that and you just try to go straight into the Christian behavior, then probably what that's going to lead you to is a breakdown or burnout. Because you start trying to do it in your own strength and live life in your own wisdom. And it was never intended to be that way. Faith starts with a deep belief. And it is that deep belief that leads us into an action. And what should that action look like? That action should look like prayer. That action should look like worship. That action should look like reading your word. That reading the Bible, that action should look like attending church, joining a small group, beginning to listen to podcasts so that you can get the right things in your mind and in your heart. You see, my very first action is simply getting in position. So many times we want to jump to the behavior, right? Well, Christians aren't supposed to do this, and they're not supposed to do that, and they are supposed to do this, and they are supposed to do that. And what we need to do is say, God, I have this deep belief in this story. I have this deep belief in the power of your forgiveness. I have this deep belief in your love, that you have a seat for me at your table, that you are inviting me into your family. I have this deep belief, and my first action is simply to get in position, to get into your presence, to get into your word, to get into the place so that you can begin to transform me. And this is before we get to any behavior. You got to have the belief and the right action of just getting in position where God can begin to work on your inside. See, so many times we're focused on the outside and God's saying, no, just get in position and let me work on your inside. Get into my word and let me begin to transform you. Get into my presence and let me begin to transform you. Just take the first 5 minutes of your day and just have a moment of gratitude and a moment of prayer. And God says, I will begin to transform you. Just get in the right position. Get in the right place. And so that's the action that needs to come out of that deep belief. And here's what's so important about this is because you're not going to find supernatural power in a natural pattern. You're not going to find supernatural power in a natural pattern. And what we do is we just try to change our behavior. That's a natural pattern. You're just trying to tweak this and change this and do it on your own. But you don't get supernatural power in a natural pattern. You see, it is through this deep belief and it is through this devoted action of getting in position that God adds his super into your natural. It happens in your moment of prayer. It happens in a daily devotional reading. It happens in a moment when you're driving down the road and you just have a moment of worship and thanksgiving to God. And those are the moments when you're in the right position and in the right place that God takes his super and he begins to add it to your natural so that you can live with supernatural power in your life. It's not just a behavior. It's not just a pattern. We need his power. That's what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. It is by his divine power that we have everything we need for living a godly life. What does that really mean? That just means living an obedient life, being obedient to what he has called us to do. Well, how do you get that obedience? I mean, that's what the definition, if we can put that the definition back up there. So what we see is faith is this deep belief that leads to an action. That's me getting in position. But you have to see, when I have this deep belief, now we're not talking about a shallow belief. We're not just talking about, well, I believe there's a God. No, a deep belief inside of us of who God is, a foundational belief in our life, and we have put ourselves in the right position, then it will result in obedience in our life. Because obedience comes as a result of his power and our position. That's how you get to obedience. You can't do it on your own. His power and you being in the right position will take us to living the life of obedience. But the definition doesn't stop there. It doesn't just stop at obedience. It says, and must be constantly cultivated in your life. You see, on earth, we will never arrive at perfection, but there should be progression. And if we're going to have progression in our lives, then there needs to be a cultivation of our faith. Let me just give you a definition for the word cultivate today. One of the definitions of the word cultivate is this: to develop or improve by education or training to refine. To develop or improve by education or training to refine. You see, my faith needs to keep being developed and refined in me. How do I do that? I do that by education. I do that. The more that I learn about God, the more my faith is going to grow. The more that I learn about the path that He has called me to walk, the more that I learn about the promises that He has for me, the more I learn and I'm educated about God and the relationship that He wants to have with me, then the more my faith is going to be refined and developed inside of me. But we have to understand this morning that faith is not just about a moment, and it doesn't just happen in a minute. It's not about a moment. It's not about a moment where you made a decision that God was real and that you wanted to serve Him with your life. No, faith is so much bigger than just that moment. And faith doesn't just happen in a minute. There is no microwave version for faith. There is no book that you can read and figure everything out. No, this is a lifetime of God doing a cultivating work on the inside of us for us to live with the faith that He has called us to live with. Which takes us to our last scripture for this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here the Apostle Paul he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. And this is what he says in verse 3. He says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing." So see, this just speaks to us today that our faith can grow. The faith that we had in the beginning that we believe God should not be the faith that we die with. No, our faith should grow more and more. And he says, hey, as your faith is growing, also your love for one another is increasing. Because this is what I can tell you about real, genuine, authentic faith. Faith is always producing. Faith is producing. Faith is producing something in your life. And even the scriptures that we read in James, when we first started in verse 17, if you remember, this is what it says. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces. Everybody say produces. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. He's saying your faith is dead. Your faith is empty. Your faith is worthless unless your faith produces. Why? Because that's what faith is intended to do. Faith is intended to produce some things in your life. Now, I think it's interesting here that as Paul is writing, he says that your faith is growing more and more and your love is increasing, because we know that love in Galatians chapter 5 is the first of the 9 fruits of the Spirit that the Apostle Paul actually wrote to the church at Galatia. And he says, this is what the Holy Spirit is producing in your life. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. This is what should be being produced in your life, because that's what faith does. Faith will produce patience in you. Faith will produce joy in you. Faith will produce peace in you. When people look at your life and they say, how can you have peace right now? It's because there is a supernatural faith on the inside of me that has produced something in my life that cannot be replicated out there in the world. It is His divine power partnering with my position that is giving me something that I could not have any other way in my life. Faith is always producing things on the inside of us. And then in verse 4, he says this: therefore, okay, so because your faith is growing more and more, and because the love that you have for one another is increasing, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Paul is writing here to the church at Thessalonica, and what he is telling them is he's saying, hey, wherever we go, we are sharing your testimony. Behind every pulpit I stand, I am sharing your testimony. Everywhere I go, I am boasting about your perseverance and your faith. I am bragging about your belief and your behavior. I am speaking about your grit and your grace. I am telling others about your faith and your follow through. Notice here in the scripture that the trials were not over. Paul wrote, and he said this, he said, I'm boasting about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. Not that you have endured. The trouble is not behind them. The trial is not behind them. They are still in the middle of persecution. They are still in the middle of their trial. And yet Paul is saying, I am sharing your testimony. Why? Because our testimony will come out of the tension. Our testimony will come out of the tension between our grit and our grace, our belief and our behavior. When we are walking through the most challenging things and we believe that God can bring us out of it, but we are doing the good that we know to do and we are walking in faith knowing that if he doesn't pull me out today, he's going to walk with me all the way through this trial. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he will strengthen me. He will be my light. He will be everything that I need. And you see, that is the goal that all of us should be pursuing. That is faith that follows through. He says, this is what we're telling people. We're telling people about your faith and your perseverance. You see, your faith is about you trusting God. Your perseverance is about you walking with God. I'm trusting God, but I'm walking with God. I'm believing God, but yet I'm behaving, and I just keep on pushing in the trial. And he says, hey, look, this is the testimony that's going out about you. You see, this should be the goal for all of our lives, and it's what we see here in this church, in these people, and it should be the goal for us. And the goal is this, that your belief shapes your behavior, and your behavior shows your belief. He says, this is the truth about you. He said, your belief has shaped your behavior. And now you're in the trial. And now you're in the middle of the storm. And now you are facing trouble. But now in the middle of all of that, your behavior is showing your beliefs. Your behavior is shining the hope of God. Your behavior is shining the light of Jesus. Your behavior is actually showing and declaring what you claim to believe. You see, it's in the trials that we need faith to follow through. It's in the difficulty. That's when we need faith to follow through. You see, it's whenever you step into the valley. If you have the faith that James is talking about, you just believe that there is a God, and that's kind of the end of your faith journey. You believe in God, but you haven't gone to that place of getting in position, of taking that action. It hasn't resulted in this life change and transformation where you're walking obediently, and your faith is not being constantly cultivated in your life. You kind of stopped on this kind of belief, the shallow belief. When you step into that valley and you get into the middle of that storm, that faith is not going to follow through. That faith will quit. That faith will cause you to walk back. And that's why James says it's not even really faith at all. You see, you got to have faith that will follow through. You got to have faith that will carry you through. You got to have faith that will take you through. You got to have faith that will take you through no matter what life brings your way.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.